The Soldier's Curse, Book 1 in the Montserrat series. Written by Meg and Tom Keneally and read by Paul English. The port's inhabitants had become accustomed to strangeness. When they first arrived in New South Wales to face their Antipodean punishment, many had been told stories of their new land by more experienced convicts. Stories of kangaroos, which seemed as good a name as any, as there was nothing in the new arrivals' lexicon which would have sufficed. They were said to be capable of disemboweling a man with one downward stroke from their powerful hind legs. Such stories were largely dismissed by those who heard them. Their lives contained enough brutality at the hands of their own species for them to give any credence to tales of mythical beasts with violent tendencies. There were other oddities to be described, too. The body of an otter and the bill of a duck, joined together by some unknown power. Large clumps of grey fur which clung to the trees and ate their leaves. And then cautionary tales about snakes, whose venom was, as venom goes, fast as any poison vouchsafed by the devil to the tribe of serpents. Some of those recently off the boat were more credulous than others. But some things couldn't be dismissed by even the most sceptical. The birds were different for a start, as anyone who had been woken by their deranged cackling knew. And the seasons, which mocked the calendar months of the civilized parts of the earth by being their opposites. When their feet struck this land for the first time, most convicts had well and truly lost track of the passage of time. They might have been voyaging for a month or a year. So a warm breeze or a chilly drizzle didn't immediately seem out of place, until Christmas Day brought ferocious heat, or work crews stepped out into a damp June pre-dawn. For some, this amalgamation of oddness stood like an unbridgeable barrier between them and the lands of their birth. Any distance which would give rise to such abnormality was distance indeed. To the miles they had travelled to the colony, some convicts who had racked up a colonial conviction could add the 230 or so between Sydney and Port Macquarie, a sea journey which took between 3 days and 2 weeks, depending what mood the winds were in. By that time, the gentle rains, mild summers, and familiar livestock of their former homes felt more like myths than the dreary routine which marked their life in the colony. Still, in Montserrat's view, one would not have expected the mundanity of a young woman stepping off a cutter to excite such interest, curiosity, and speculation. Honora had married Angus Shelbourne 2 years previously in a chapel near her family's estate, just before he left to take up his commission. They had met several times during his period in Ireland, as many families considered a well-turned-out officer an essential accessory to any social event. At dances, they made lively conversation. But at hunts, they began chastely to map each other's true boundaries, seeing if these went beyond the official charts, those drawn up for the daughter of a baron and a promising captain, as the major was then.